What's up, guys? Welcome on into Stacking Dubs Play-In Edition. It is fresh after the Warriors survive and barely survive by the skin of their teeth against the Memphis Grizzlies. Lot to unpack here. I'm just gonna kind of unravel. I might just be all over the place, but man, I guess the first three thoughts that come to mind. First off, just the refs. That was just atrocious. I mean, especially the second half, especially the fourth quarter. I mean, they honestly probably got every single call wrong down the stretch, from the very obvious review of ED's sixth foul, which turned into Draymond's fifth, where he's over the back or hooking Dre. I don't get how you can miss calls when it's in slow-mo and you can just see the whole thing going on and you have your time to review it and you're still missing blatant calls. Absolutely unacceptable. Then you have the Draymond foul out where he barely touches Desmond Bane. I mean, he goes out of balance. You have to call something, but I mean, that wasn't a foul, especially to foul out of a game. You have Pajemski's clean block, didn't even touch anybody, didn't touch Pippen on that clean block. Best block and best defensive play you've ever seen out of Pods. Almost hit his head on the backboard, and probably the only contribution that Pods even gave for this game. Missed that call, missed the foul that Looney picked up on Edie when Moody got the rebound late in the game. There's another call where Jimmy Butler didn't even get touched and they called a foul on Pippen. It went both ways, but especially down the stretch, it really went against the Warriors. So that was just first off, that's on top of my mind. And so I just got to get that out there. That was atrocious. That crew needs to not be let into the playoffs to ref, because that was just horrific. Number two, Steph Curry. I mean, you are the Mariano Rivera closer. Enter Sandman Steph, because at the end of the game, when, hey, it's Warriors, what, up one, Steph, finds separation through a double team, basically just throws a nasty juke on Pippen, reverses scores, gets the ball in, almost turns it over. Was that the first time where Jaw kind of swiped it out of bounds? Nevertheless, Steph got to the free throw line, and he has this thing, if you guys notice, especially towards the end of games, high pressure situations, he just throws a little smile on his face. It's just such a mental trick. When it's pressure, hey, I'm just gonna smile, I'm just gonna be confident because I know I'm making this. And you can say it in your regular life, you're facing pressure, just throw a smile on, and that'll kind of just put you in the right place. A little trick that little Wardell Curry has taught me. But no free throws ever guaranteed, not even from the best free throw shooter of all time, who just won his fifth free throw title for the season. I think he also has 4 second places. So 9 of his, I think, 13 eligible seasons, he's finished top two in free throws in the NBA. Just a little accolade on top of all the other shooting prowess. And yep, yeah, exactly. He's going to make them. He did a great job separating, and you know Memphis is trying to deny him the ball, but he was not to be denied. He was able to get open, take care of the ball, and get to the line and close this game out. Best closer you could ask for at the end of game situations where every free throw, every possession matters. You even saw Jimmy Butler handling the ball. What was it, like 36 seconds left, and horrific turnover by Jimmy, gets caught in the air. Steph fell down, so Jimmy was trying to throw it, thinking Steph would be there, but obviously that's what turned into the turnover where Pods had the block foul. Anyway, Steph, great job closing this game, and even just leading up to it. I mean, he hit the you could see it when I think it was tied or they were up one maybe at this point with about 2 minutes left, and you see Steph, Jimmy, and Dre, your three dogs, your three veterans. It's just kind of, I think Memphis is shooting free throws. So those three, as they inbound the ball coming up the court, you see them communicating. They wave Pods and Moody off to the other side of the court. Pick and roll with Steph and Jimmy. Jimmy ends up kind of getting the short pass from there. And then Jimmy dumps it to Dre, and Steph's relocating to the corner for that three that I think put him up three or put him up four at that point. That was probably the biggest shot of the game. And then next possession down, again, only up by one, I think, here now. Steph just stepped back, double head fake. Reggie Miller would call it three head fakes because he counted it out three times, even though it was a double head fake. But Steph, just the patience and just the balance, right? To be able to step back, head fake twice, just kind of wait for, I think it was Pippen again, kind of slide by, and just kind of be able to be flat footed. but still not on your heels, right? You should be able to stand there and just hold that position for that long at that moment and just knock it down. That was where the game was won. And then obviously Steph iced it with the free throws. So number two, just fantastic fourth quarter by Steph. Way to close it out. Ended up playing 39 minutes and the entire fourth quarter, and 13 to 13 from the line. And he had six threes and 37 points. And it was kind of a rocky game. He was actually having trouble getting open, separating, shot a lot of off balance, kind of just in between weird shots. Went to the glass, got four or five times, and just kind of, Pippen made life tough for him. He's grabbing him all over the place. And fortunately, Steph got a few calls on that and got to the line, saw the ball go through the hoop. But nevertheless, Steph had to work for tonight, but he was able to, using that strength that he didn't have earlier in his career, just find ways to get open, get to his shot, and then knock him down, which includes the one in the first half where he almost lost the ball. Running around, runs baseline, ended up probably running, 70, 80 yards before relocating to the corner, and knocks down a 4-point play. It's crazy how the conditioning can be where you can still shoot at the end of all that and be precise when you've just basically run 100 yards of sprints. And then thirdly, in this game, Jimmy Butler has arrived, and as tight as this game was, and you're saying, man, you lost to the Clippers, you played the Grizzlies as tight as can be. Is this team championship potential? Is this team good enough to win a championship? I mean, to that, I would say, look, you in any given game now, just the way Jimmy Butler has played, you might have the two best players in any given series because Jimmy Butler has shown that he can rise to that level. And I will be the first, apology tour. I apologize because 2 weeks ago, I said, I don't know what we're going to get out of Jimmy as a scorer. And, jokes on me, jokes on a lot of us, because this entire time Jimmy's been saying, I can score when I want to score. I can turn it on when I want to turn it on. And, I thought that he was developing some just kind of passive habits and passing of layups here and there in the regular season. But it's something like I've never seen where he just literally turns on the switch. Becomes an alpha scorer, dropped 38 points, got to the line 18 times, missed six free throws. You gotta sort that a little Jimmy that killed us. But shot and made two very big threes in the first half. So that, he's not gonna be too passive on that either if they're gonna leave him open, which, that little bit of spacing that you wanna call that will, serve huge dividends for the Warriors and that offense because every bit of spacing with that lineup is huge. But I mean, honestly, anytime the Grizzlies were going on a run, anytime the Warriors just needed points throughout this game, it was just give the ball to Jimmy and let him isolate, let him play make, and get to the line. It's just, we said it so many times earlier in the season, these just massive droughts that the offense was having. I just need somebody to get a good look. I need somebody to get to the line. Just get, even if you're only making one or two free throws, that's a huge point, and every point mattered in this game. So just the relentlessness, the conditioning. Jimmy's 35 years old. We didn't know what his conditioning would be. He got after it. He played. He just grinded, and he played, maybe other than Steph, as hard of a 40 minutes as you'll see. I mean, he didn't cover as much ground as Steph, but just the physicality on both sides of the court. It's fascinating to see. And so yeah, I thought Jimmy, from shooting threes to attacking Edie relentlessly, as did all Warriors. I think Jimmy went at 21 points in the first half, which would be what 17 in the second half, just nonstop the entire night. So again, Jimmy, I'm sorry for doubting you. And if you continue to play like this and raise your level to this level and you can sustain this level of energy on both ends of the court, because man, you are, like we said earlier, when the defense was locked in, this having Draymond out there as a lion and having Jimmy out there, you've got two lions out there on defense that are just hawks off the ball. They're making plays, had a huge steal and transition dunk. He is just a playmaker on defense, and it's a beautiful thing to watch when you just kind of see the synergy just kind of in rotation defense with Steph, Draymond, or sorry, with Jimmy and Draymond just kind of hovering and help defense. And also he can, guard and play point of attack as well if needed. So my point is, this was a tough game, hard-fought game. It's going to give the Warriors, that edge, knowing they can win close games and really grind it out. And they haven't had too many of these since we got Jimmy. So a growing moment for the Warriors. And I guess what we've learned is that down the stretch, it is going to be Jimmy. It is going to be Steph. And we also learned that if we're going to go anywhere, somebody else is going to have to step up offensively because, I mean, Pajemski shrank in this game, 1 of 7, only 3 points. Moody, good defense, had a couple buckets. He ended up with 9 points. But again, it's just like at the end of the game, like those guys don't want the ball. I know I need someone else in there. I'd almost rather, we had GP2 in their last game and down the stretch offensively. Yeah, he didn't really give us much, but at least he's been in these moments and a little bit more confident. I'm not saying I'd rather him be in there, but I want someone that's going to be strong with the ball, going to be confident to, hey, I can go get a bucket. I mean, you can't trust Jonathan Kuminga there, and we're not going to talk about him too much, but that's where you would need and could use him if he got to the point where he was confident and he should be your third best scorer, in moments like that where, hey, Steph's being double teamed. Jimmy, for whatever reason, doesn't have the ball, or he has to give it up. You need that third person who can go attack the hoop, win a matchup. Kuminga can find a mismatch, or even just cut from the baseline and just find ways to get to the line or attack and finish at the hoop. That's where you kind of miss that athleticism, but you can't play him for all the mistakes that will be made just on both ends of the court. But again, we're not going to talk about that too much. I mean, other big moments, Jaw's ankle, that was also a bad call. That wasn't a foul. I mean, he landed on Buddy's foot, but Buddy's just standing there. What's he supposed to do? I mean, it's def I don't know, I feel bad for Jaw, but you know what? He came back, he played well, respect it. I mean, just going through the Grizzlies, I thought Desmond Bane obviously was fantastic. I thought Jaren Jackson Jr. needed to be a little bit better. He was a non-factor on defense, and he's more or less a non-factor on offense. Didn't really do too much. So Grizzlies, I think it'll be interesting to see what they do and if they can sneak into the playoffs. But yeah, no. Tip my cap, they played hard. Tip my cap, they played hard. And yeah, I think if we play them in a series, it's probably like most other series with Memphis where it goes 6, maybe 7 games. Okay, well, I'm just gonna take a second to breathe because as rough as the last 2 games were, and for as many years off my life we lost, it all ended up best case scenario. I say that now, but be careful what you wish for. Warriors get the Rockets. They don't get the Lakers. They get the Rockets in the first round. They get 4 days of rest, which, it's not a full week of rest, but 4 days is enough to prep, enough to get a little rest. We will have some tired legs after playing two elimination style games, but yeah, it's all you can ask for, against a young, inexperienced, but physical Houston team who, they're going to beat up on us as well. So we're going to need some aggressiveness. And, I think I'm just going to go back to, I think we're going to have to see some Kuminga just for another body, for the size, for the athleticism. He did great against Houston earlier in the season, not as much recently, but you're going to have to see some Kuminga. But we're going to do our Houston Rockets preview leading up to the series later this week. Most importantly, Warriors stay on the other side of the bracket from the Thunder. So looking ahead, it'd be the Rockets and then it'd be the winner of the Lakers and Wolves, which, we'll take our chances with that. I'd feel comfortable playing the Wolves. I don't, the last person in the world I want to play in the playoffs is LeBron James, and probably the second person I wouldn't want to play against is Luka. But we looked pretty good against them in here in LA. Last game, I know they missed a lot of shots, but there were mismatches to be hunted, and I think there's a few kind of ways that the Warriors can work through that series. But again, we won't get ahead of ourselves. Let's just rejoice, guys. This game, for as crazy, I thought we were gonna get screwed by the refs. I thought we were gonna get screwed by our role players. Speaking of role players, let's just kind of go through a couple of just, I mean, they're not players of the game, but we wouldn't have won without them. First off, GP2 came off the bench and it's immediate spark. I mean, get 7 points in the first quarter. Ended up playing 20 minutes, and GP2 is the kind of guy that he plays hard, he plays explosive. Once he kind of hits that fatigue point, he's somewhat useless unless he's hitting threes, which he knocked down a couple big ones in this. But he had 12 points, and I guess his defense, I mean, his defense is good. That's why he's in there, but Honestly, I thought Moses Moody's been a little bit better defensively in the last couple games, just a little bit more size. But Peyton Battles got a few extra possessions for us and made an impact, the impact that mattered. And ultimately, I think I'd like to see him kind of like at like 15 minutes, just play like three little like 5 minute spurts, and just make an impact there. But I know GP2 very big on offense, and the defense will be there, especially when you're playing guys like a John Morant, a James Harden. Even though he kind of got torched by Harden, you just need him against some of these ball dominant point guards. I'm trying to think about Houston. Yeah, I mean, you can throw him on Van Vliet a little bit, but yeah, maybe not quite as imperative in a season, a series against them. We're going to need all our bigs against Sengun, against Steven Adams. And so I say that because Quinton Post proved that he can play pretty much in any matchup. I was worried that Post wouldn't be able to play much in this because Jaw would attack him relentlessly. Didn't happen. Post, po, Quentin Post, Quentin Post was probably the most important piece tonight. I think he played 20, what was it? 22 minutes. Holy moly. 11 points. He was a plus 12. Played some monster minutes when Dre was in foul trouble. Hit, obviously, hit three threes, which is great on offense, but just wasn't a defensive liability. In fact, he was huge on defense, just rim protection, making life tough enough on Edie, making life tough enough. He had a big stop on Jaren Jackson Jr. Battling for rebounds. He had five of them, passed the ball well and got a big offensive rebound that he kind of kicked back to Steph for three, third quarter-ish. But yeah, very efficient. And he still makes a few mistakes here or there. He's a rookie. But man, you can just see the learning curve and just these huge minutes he's playing. He's only going to get better. And for a shooter to just log big minutes in big situations like this, you're only going to settle into your shot and be that much more confident down the road. So, I gotta say, he has been a revelation for us. Like, who would have thought that you'd be seeing in a must-win game that Quinton Post would be playing 22 minutes and Kuminga would not even be sniffing the floor. Pretty wild to me, but you can agree or disagree with the rotations, and there's some things I guess leave a little to be desired, but we got the win. I guess I'll give credit to Kerr for being able to play Post and having the confidence to stick with Post against a huge Grizzlies team where you just needed Post's size. You always need his shooting, and it allows Draymond just a little bit of reprieve, just the banging around, having to guard, either of those two bigs, just having Post in there really, probably gives, the 2 minutes that Post played, I'd say 15 of them were with Dre, and that those minutes, allow Dre to play an extra 4 or 5 minutes of being a little bit fresher. So, and that being said, Dre, I thought, offensively, he didn't do much scoring, and that's okay. Honestly, like, I think where Dre hurts us the most is just the turnovers, just the forced passes. You only had one turnover. You didn't get too much of that. Make your impact on defense. He had three steals and a block. He rebounded well. I thought he played fantastic defense for the most part, had a couple of silly fouls. But again, just great defense, making it tough on the Grizzlies, especially in the first half. And then, on offense, he had 10 assists. They were simple passes for the most part. Nice back cut to Steph earlier in the game and a nice one to Jimmy also early in the game. But aside from those two, nothing was forced or tried to squeeze in there. He made a much better effort to take care of the ball. And the Warriors did that. They only had 10 turnovers too. I think what the Grizzlies had like almost 20, like 19, 20 turnovers. Both teams shot pretty well. Warriors kind of cooled off. The Warriors started really hot and then cooled off, but again, they held on. And then the free throw battle, I think, let's see here, Warriors got to the line 34 times versus the Grizzlies 23. And in a game where you're playing against these bigs, that's all you can ask for. And lastly, just the rebounding to keep it close enough where, yes, the Grizzlies, when they were cooking, they were rebounding, and the Warriors, you're just kind of letting up, and you could tell they were a little fatigued, a little old, little like they played a huge game 2 nights ago. And that's kind of when the Grizzlies went on their run, but the Warriors found enough deep. They battled hard enough. And when the Warriors are playing hard, getting on the floor, you saw many instances where the Warriors were first to the ground, Quentin Post got on the ground. Moody learned his lesson from last game. He got on the ground. And those are the little plays that win you games like this and get you that little stripe as a battle-tested team now. Got this team believing. Get this team some rest for a little bit. Get a good night's sleep at home. Get Steph's thumb right. Get everybody right. And then we're going to go out to Houston where we know we can win games against a team that we might be favored. Again, we'll do a preview later on in the week, but the Warriors might be favored in that series. I would call the Warriors maybe like minus 140, even though they're the road to their away team. I'd say they're minus 140 to win that series. Whereas just for argument's sake, if they were playing the Lakers, the Lakers would probably be minus 180. Warriors probably like what, plus 150. So it worked out. We took care of business and now we got a better series. And we can worry about the Lakers and the Thunder another day. I think that's it, guys. Good win. Season goes on. If we had lost this one, it was basically over. So good job, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I will see you for a little bit more Warriors basketball, where we will chase our fifth championship in the Steph Curry era. And again, when Jimmy Butler's playing like this and Steph Curry's playing like this, you got to believe that you always got a chance. All right, good job, Dubs. Keep them stacking. I'm Chris Chin. Let's hit like, let's hit subscribe. I got some milestones to hit on my followers. So, yeah, help me out, guys. Let's get this going, little playoff run for stacking Dubs. All right, until next time, we'll do a Houston Rockets preview. I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking Dubs.